Bible like this and you just crack it right in the middle, like crack, you know, right in the middle of the Bible, open it right to the middle, you're going to find the book of Psalms, all right? Psalm 119, we're going to start in verse 97 here in just a minute. So in our series last fall called Parenthood, we talked about the fact that the average father in America spends 37 seconds a day in meaningful conversation with their children. One of the primary reasons that is true is right here. Our phones. Our phones are a huge reason that is true because our phones have our attention. I mean, between texting, email, Twitter, Facebook, Angry Birds, we're pretty engrossed. When our phone rings, so to speak, we answer. See, we all have things in our life that we answer to. One of the things that seems to have my attention and has and may acquire the attention of many of you is the text message. And I'll be honest, if I'm speaking with you and somebody hits me with a text message, it's going to drive me crazy until I'm able to look and see who it is and what they want. I mean, it's just me. It's going to bug me until I find out what that thing's about. And many times people text me very important information. I mean, sometimes people really need to get in touch with me, and they know a text will do that. But a lot of times, it's just me and my homies goofing off. Like, probably 90% of my text messages, just fun stuff. See, in our culture, we'll be engaged in a conversation with a real person right in front of us, and that text comes in, and we'll interrupt our conversation with the person who is present to see who hit us. And in some cases, it doesn't matter who we're talking to. It could be our boss, it could be our spouse, it could be a friend, it could be our kids. And we allow our attention to be diverted from the person that's right in front of us. And that attention is diverted by somebody who's not even around. And the person that we're talking to, like face to face, they must be wondering, like, who is so important that you would interrupt our conversation to look at this text message? Now, please understand, I'm not slamming anybody, because I have been and I will be guilty of this in the very near future. It's something I'm working on. I'm simply making a commentary on our society. We are so connected to our phones. Any time that we hear that thing, every time we get dinged, we feel the need to respond. Now, some of you that are my age or maybe a little older, you probably remember a time when somebody would call your house and nobody would answer it. And if it was important, they'd call back. Then, like a generation later, we'd let the phone ring and we'd let the machine pick it up. Because we didn't know who it was and if it was important. And if it is important, they'll leave a message. Not long after that, we got caller ID. And caller ID is like one of the best inventions ever, right? So now we like look to see who it is calling, and then we decide whether to answer it or let it to go to the machine. And if it's important, they'll call back or we'll call them back, and we make a judgment based on the number that we see there. Many times we would make these decisions, whether to answer the phone or let it go to the machine or call them back later. We would make those decisions based on the people that were present with us. I remember when I was a kid, my parents would not answer the phone during dinner time. If you called during dinner time, you were going to have to call back. Okay, that's how old I am. We didn't have an answering machine. You had to call back. They made that decision based on us having family time at dinner time. Don't answer the phone. If it's important, they'll call back. See, the people that we were engaged with got more respect than somebody who wasn't present and maybe who was worlds away. But now, we got to read that text message. And again, I'm like public enemy number one on this. And by the way, there may be some legitimate reasons why this is true of us, why we have to answer that text. For one thing, you rarely, if ever, get a wrong number text message. Like people call me and it's the wrong number, you know, like once a month, but I never get a text message from somebody like, who's that? I always know who it is. The message is important to us because it's somebody that we know. So it's never the wrong number, and text messages are very relevant. They're about now. They're about what's happening in our life right now. Something's going on, something's going down, and you're in a conversation about now. That's what texting is all about. And texting is so immediate. Now here's the big thing. Here's the thing that I think many of us love most about texting. You don't have to actually talk to anybody. You don't have to get in a long conversation. You don't have to get in a big O discussion. You can just kind of lob bombs at each other. Not really a conversation. And so texting may have become the ultimate distraction. Texting has our undivided, or probably more accurately, divided attention. But there's reasons for this. I mean, we have all kinds of reasons this is true. Here's another thing about it. We always read a text. You might not read an email. You might just skim an email. You're going to read a text. We read a text message, and that's why we always say, did you get my text? Because if you get it, you read it. Probably sooner rather than later. Now, here's one of the things I know, too, about texting. People read them, and it doesn't matter if you're a reader or not. You may not consider yourself to be a reader, but you probably read text messages. And here's the irony. We have received a text message from God. God has literally given us this big, giant text message that we call the Bible. And many of us have never read it. And that's what this series is about. We received a text message from God through the Scriptures. And if we would just read the message of God in the Scriptures, our life would be different. We have received a message from God, and if we would have read it, if we would have applied it to our lives, most of our lives would be different. Our marriages would be different. We may have raised our kids differently. We would have dated differently. Our morals and our ethics would be different. But for whatever reason, we didn't take the time to read it. For whatever reason, we don't read it. And if we had just taken the time to read the Bible, our lives would be different. For some reason, the most important text message in the world has been ignored. And I'm sure that we all realize and would be happy to admit that this is way more important than our phone dinging us. Here's another thing about texting, another reason that we love it. Text messages are typically very personal. So here's some truth for you. God's text message to you is very personal. The God who created you, who knows everything about you, who knows every intimate detail of your life, has texted you. And not only is it personal, it is current. God's text message to you is relevant and current because it speaks to every area of your life. The message is timeless. The truth is timeless. The principles are timeless. And if we will read the text and integrate the truths into our lives will be different. Our lives will look different. In fact, some of you probably grew up in a home where Bible reading was encouraged, and you would say that your life is different because you were encouraged to read the Bible. You were encouraged to read this text message from God. And you did. You actually read it. Now, I'm one of those people. I grew up in a family with raggedy Bibles. And the Bibles in my family, my grandparents' Bibles were raggedy. The covers were torn. The bindings were torn because they got used a lot. And I grew up in a family like that, and I was encouraged and taught to read the Bible. I was encouraged and taught the importance of reading the Bible. I was encouraged to read the Bible my entire life. I was encouraged to memorize portions of the Scripture my entire life. And honestly, I'm blessed because some of that stuff stuck. And I look back at my life and I realize that so much that went right in my life was because I leaned on the truth of the Scripture. And I look back on some of my teen years and my young adult years and I realize that some of the poor decisions that I made were because I lost sight of what God said or I disregarded what God had said. And when I think about who I married and my love for the church and what my life is like now, the credit goes to, I was hoping that would happen. I was hoping somebody would get hit during the service. I actually thought about putting a plan out there, somebody to text me like while I was teaching, just leave my sound on like, oh, wow. Look. And I'd like ignore you guys and answer it. I look at my life now like, you know, who I married, my love for the church, what my life is, and the credit goes to a family and a church that encouraged me to read the Bible. Encourage me to read God's text message to me. So, you're a smart crowd. I'm sure you figure this out, but just let me be clear about what this series is all about. Over the next 3 weeks, I'm going to do everything in my power to get you to read the Bible. And some of you will say, well, I'm not really a reader. We read what is important to us. We read when our phone dings. I'm going to do everything that I can to get the Scripture in you. And by the way, we do that already. We do everything that we can to get the Scripture to you. We put it on the screen. We put Bibles in the pews. We even encourage you to read the Bible on your phone between dings. At the end of the day, we just want you to pick up the Bible and read it. So for the next 3 weeks, I'm just going to try to encourage you to read the Bible. And I'm going to try to give you some tools that will help you read the Bible. And here's why this is so important. It doesn't matter if you come from a church background or you don't come from a church background. Maybe you've never been around church. Maybe you've never read the Bible. And maybe you don't even realize it. But the Bible has influenced you. I mean, if you grew up with religion, or in some kind of church, the things that make you feel guilty probably have their roots in the Bible. If you have an idea that you may be cool with God and God is cool with you, it probably relates to something that you heard or read from this book. This book influences the way that you see right and wrong. You may not realize it, you may not give it the credit, but this book influences how we see right and wrong. There's probably things in your everyday life that are impacted by this book. So all of that being said, you owe it to yourself to read it for yourself. You do. You owe it to yourself to read it for yourself because it influences your life whether you realize it or not. And when you read it, here's what you'll find. You'll be surprised by what is not in there. You'll realize that you've made decisions in your life based on something that you thought was in there, and you're going to realize it's not in there. Stuff like cleanliness is next to godliness. Not in there. Not in the Bible. Something like God helps those who help themselves. Not in there. Ben Franklin, by the way, said that. Wise man. There's all kinds of stuff that's not in there, that you thought was in there, and there's all kinds of stuff in there that you had no idea was in there. And you owe it to yourself to read it for yourself. And listen, if you're going to do the God thing and the church thing, if you're going to come on Sundays and sing the songs and listen to the messages and put your kids in Venice Kids, don't you think you owe it to yourself to read it for yourself? And just the truth, it's not enough to listen to somebody talk about it. And let me tell you about the Bible. We have such easy access to the Bible. It has been preserved for us for hundreds and thousands of years, and God has texted us, and we have easy access to what God has said to us. We have the opportunity to read it every day. Some of you would say, well, I'm not really a reader. And some of you would say, I've tried to read it, but it's just too difficult to read. Well, don't do anything in your life that's difficult. That's what life's about. Life is about doing stuff that's difficult. By the way, we do stuff that's difficult every day. And by the way, do you know what's really difficult? Making poor decisions in your 20s that make your 30s and 40s really difficult. Difficult is making a poor decision about who you marry and then trying to live with them for the rest of your life. Difficult is raising your kids in a way that doesn't get them where you want them to be and then watching them waste their 20s and their 30s and their 40s. It seems like to me that taking 5, 10, maybe 15 minutes a day to work your way through the Bible is not that tough. It's not that difficult. I want you to read the Bible. And we do. We have excuses. There are other excuses. Some of you would say, well, I'm not sure I really believe it. That's okay. Read it anyway. We read a lot of stuff that we're not sure that we believe. Like People Magazine. How about those fashion magazines? Do you really believe that that girl on the front looks like that? Somebody say airbrushed. You read a lot of stuff you don't believe. You don't have to believe the Bible to read it. You don't have to believe that it's written by God. Just read it for yourself. And again, you make decisions every day that are shaped by this book. You may not recognize it, but you make decisions every day. This text message from God, it permeates our culture. It has shaped your thoughts. You owe it to yourself to read it for yourself. And over the next couple weeks, we're going to try to make it easy for you. And I want us to begin with this passage today, Psalm 119. We're going to start in verse 97 in just a moment. This passage of Scripture explains how this text message from God, how the Word of God can be real and practical in your life. And if you're reading your Bible, if you're following on your phone, if you're following on the screen, you're going to read these words that were written by this guy named David. And this guy, David, this is the guy who killed Goliath. This is the guy that was a shepherd. This is the guy that became king. All right? That guy wrote this. And David writes this, and we need to understand that when he writes this, he probably only had the first 7 books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, and Judges. That's probably all of the Bible that he had, the first 7 books. Okay? And those 7 books were written hundreds of years before he was born. And David's going to write about reading those 7 books, reading about God's law, the Scriptures. And he's talking about something, again, that was written hundreds of years before he was born. And that's really important because many people today believe that the Bible is irrelevant because it's an ancient book. Well, it is about something that happened 2,000 years ago. But what David was reading was written hundreds of years before he was born. This is what David says about literature that was written hundreds of years before he was born. He only had 7 books, and by the way, they weren't the most exciting 7 books in the Bible. But they were the only ones that he had. And here's what he said. Look at verse 97. Oh, how I love your instructions. I think about them all day long. David talks about how much he loves this text message from God. He loves God's word. And then he says he thinks about it all day long. Now, he's the king. It's not like he doesn't have anything else to do. But he's thinking about God's word all day long. When I read that, I wonder, what do I think about all day long? See, that's worth thinking about, because what I think about the most influences the decisions that I make. David loves God's word. He thinks about God's word all day long. Then he tells us why he loves God's text message. He's talking to God, verse 98. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are my constant guide. I'm guessing that's pretty important if you're leading a nation. God's word makes him wiser than his enemies. They are his constant guide. Now think about this. In the scripture, we discover how God views the world. In the scripture, we discover what God values most. In the scripture, we discover what God says does and does not work. And David tells us that because of his time in the scripture, he knows how God sees things. He knows what God values. He knows what does and does not work according to God. They make him wiser than his enemies. And notice that he says that God's word is my constant guide. He has saturated his mind with God's commands, and they're always with him. And during his day, as he rules and reigns and leads and does all kinds of kingly stuff, God's word is his guide. Look at verse 99. Yes, I have more insight than my teachers, for I'm always thinking of your laws. That word insight is a powerful word. And insight is a powerful thing. Because insight is the ability to see things that other people cannot see. David said, I can see things from a perspective that nobody else can see from, and it's because of the time that I spend in God's word. Insight is literally the ability to connect the dots. See, what other people see is unrelated, you're able to see the relationship. You have wisdom and insight. You're able to read between the lines. David said that because of the time that he spent in the scriptures, that he has more insight than even his teachers. He has more insight than people that are farther along in life. Look at verse 100. I'm even wiser than my elders, for I have kept your commandments. He's wise beyond his years. Not because God gifted him specifically, not because God gifted him extra, not because he has a special in with God, because he's chosen to read what God said to him. And he even went beyond that. He said, and then I obey it. I read it and then I obey it. His wisdom comes from his time in God's word. And really, the second half of verse 100 is the kicker. He not only reads God's word and thought about God's word, but he obeyed God's word. Now, we talk about this a lot, and we're going to talk about it over the next couple weeks. We're taught in the Bible that obedience to God brings insight. But we often think this way. This is a common mistake that we as Christ followers make. We'll say, God, if you'll explain it to me, then I will do it. God, if you'll tell me the why, then I'll do it. But the scriptures say over and over again, by example and by teaching, that there are times when we must say, God, I don't know why, but because you said it, I will do it. When it comes to following Christ and obeying the scripture, many times we discover that in obeying, then we understand. Many times to understand, we must obey. This will help us remember. To understand why, submit and apply. If you want to understand why God says something, then submit to what he says and apply it. Obey it. The best way to understand what God has asked you to do is to do something. Do it. Now, this why thing comes naturally to us. It's built into us. Every child goes through a phase when why is their favorite word. But why? But why? As you read the scripture, there are times when God says, I want you to obey me, because there's no way that you can really understand why I want you to do it until you actually do it. And God says, on the other side, it'll all make sense. On the other side of obedience, you will have insight. On the other side of obedience, you will be relieved because you will understand. On the other side of obedience, you understand all of the ramifications of having sex outside of marriage. On the other side of obedience, you understand God's view of marriage. On the other side of obedience, you understand what God says about money. And then look where David goes next, verse 101. I have refused to walk on any evil path so that I may remain obedient to your word. I haven't turned away from your regulations, for you have taught me well. That is an important phrase. You have taught me. If we could just take that one thing away today. David said, when I read God's law and I reflect on it and when I meditate on God's word, it's like God is personally teaching me. God, you teach me. And let me say this. Anybody here today that has spent much time reading God's word on a regular basis, they will tell you that there have been times when they read the word of God and it felt like God was talking directly to them. David said, God, through your word, you teach me personally. You personally teach me. Any of you that have read the Bible, you felt like God was saying, at some time or another, you felt like God was saying something directly to you. He was personally teaching you. It's very common. Now this is really important. If you're a person who believes in God, if you're a person who prays, you spend a lot of time trying to get God to do things. Because that's what prayer is. Prayer is us trying to get God to do things. But what if God wants to say things? See, we're really good at trying to get God to do things, but what if God wants to say something? What if God is more interested in saying something to me than doing something for me? What if the primary way by which he has chosen to speak to his people is through his word, is through this text message? What if the Bible really is a text message to those who believe in God? See, that's how David saw it. He goes on, verse 103, how sweet your words taste to me. They're sweeter than honey. And your commandments give me understanding. No wonder I hate every false way of life. He said, your text message gives me understanding. And that tastes good to me. That tastes sweet. And then he says this, and we wrap up with this today. And if you grew up in church, you may know this in the form of a song. It's a very familiar passage, verse 105. He says, God, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Again, I want you to notice how personal this is. David's talking again about literature that was written hundreds of years before he was born. How could something written hundreds of years before you were born be a lamp to guide your specific feet? David is making this very personal. He's talking as if God knows the specific circumstances of his life. Because that's exactly how it is. David knows that no matter where he may step, God sees him. God knows his every step. If a bear rolls up on his father's flock and tries to steal a sheep, and David confronts and defeats that bear, God knows. If a lion sneaks up on that flock and tries to kill or eat one of the sheep, and David confronts that lion and defeats that lion, God knows. If David walks down into a valley to face a giant, God knows. David says, wherever I go, even if it's a dark place, God's word is there to guide me and to light the way. See, this is very personal. This isn't deep theology. It isn't too deep to get our head around. David wrote this during a very pedestrian culture. David was just a simple shepherd turned warrior who literally overnight became king of Israel. But this was not some big intellectual pursuit. This is just a guy who was desperate to be in touch with God. He was desperate to get direction from God. He knew that he needed God. He knew that he needed God's wisdom and direction. And he knew that God had left him a message. And he made up his mind that he was going to read the Word of God. And he was going to reflect on the Word of God. And he was going to obey the Word of God. And he believed God was speaking directly to him through those words that were written hundreds of years before he was born. And that's what I want for us. I want us to read it for ourselves. I want us to reflect on it. I want us to obey it and allow God to give us direction for our lives. So would you read it for yourself? Would you just read it? Would you start today? Would you start tomorrow? Listen, it's okay if you don't understand everything. I don't understand everything. Nobody understands everything in this book. Just read it, because the Word of God is alive, and it will come alive for you. And just pray, God, speak to me like you spoke to David. God, speak to me like you spoke to David, and then start reading. You guys have the bookmark? Should have got one in your handout. If you didn't get a handout and you didn't get one of these today, make sure you get one before you leave today. On one side it says text. On the other side it says reading schedule. On the side that it says reading schedule, there's a prayer there. It says, Heavenly Father, help me see as you see and empower me to do as you say. So every day before you start reading the Bible, you just pray that little prayer. Father, help me see as you see and empower me to do as you say. And then start reading. And look, I want you to know, I'm in this with you. If I neglect my time in God's Word, I'm headed for trouble. And let me just share four things that happen to me when I don't read the Bible. Okay, when I don't read the Bible, I see the weaknesses of others and I overlook my own. If I don't spend time in God's Word, I tend to see the weaknesses of others and I tend to overlook my own. When I get out of God's Word, I can focus on the weaknesses and shortcomings of others and I do not see my own weaknesses. Everything is somebody else's fault. But when I'm in God's Word, I'm keenly aware of my weaknesses. I'm keenly aware of where I need to grow. Here's something else that happens. I only see what's on the surface. If I get out of God's Word, if I stop reading the Bible, I begin to only see what is on the surface. I begin to see and analyze things as if all I see is all that there is. And I begin to see things as if there is no eternity. I begin to focus on only the things that I can see. And that excludes heaven and hell and God. And it even excludes today because I'm only able to see this moment. This moment right now. If I get out of God's Word, I can easily lose sight of anything that lies outside of this moment. Here's something else that happens to me. If I get out of God's Word, I get materialistic. I do. I get self-centered and selfish and materialistic. I get out of God's Word and I begin to try to hold on to what I have and I get selfish. But when I'm in God's Word, over and over and over again, I see God say, trust me. Trust me. Trust me. I will provide. I will provide for you. I will provide for you. I created it all, and I will provide for you. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. Here's one more thing. When I don't read the Bible, I struggle with anger. When I don't read the Bible, I get angry way too easy, and I hold on to anger way too long. And here's why. Apart from the Scripture, I have no reason to let go of my anger. You owe me, so I'll get even. You hurt me, I'll hurt you. You disrespected me, I'll disrespect you. But when I open the Bible and I see what God says, and he says, Craig, you owe me big time. But here's what I want from you. You owe me big time. I forgave you, but here's what I want for you. I just want you to forgive others like I've forgiven you. The Father has forgiven me. I must forgive you. See, the Bible helps me keep my anger in check. Folks, you've been texted by your Heavenly Father. You need to read it. It's not enough just to listen to me. It's not enough just to pray, because prayer is about getting God to do stuff. What if he has something to say? What if he's trying to say something to you? Read the Bible. You can read it on your phone. You can read it on your tablet. You can read it on your computer. You can go to Walmart or Target and get a Bible for $5. You can walk out to our lobby today and you can take a New Testament, the second half of the Bible. You can take one for free. They're out there for your taking. Just grab one and start reading. Read the Bible. God has sent you a text message. Don't spend another day without picking it up and reading it. Now again, I want to make this as easy as possible for you. That's why I gave you this bookmark. There's a little reading schedule on there. You pray that prayer tomorrow morning and then you read Psalm 1. One reading for each day. We're even going to give you Saturday and Sunday off. Just start reading. Use this schedule. God has texted you. You owe it to yourself to read it for yourself. Would you pray with me? Father God, we are amazed that you have spoken to us. We are amazed, Father, that you have something to say to us. And God, in your sovereign and awesome power, you have preserved your word, your text message for us. Father, I pray that you would open our hearts to what you say to us. I pray that you would ignite in us, that you would light a fire in us, Father. Give us a hunger for your word. Father, for those of us who've never read it, just give us the wisdom and the strength and the power to try it, just to try it. And maybe for those that have read it quite a bit, God, continue to speak to us. We want to read it, and we want to reflect on it, and we want to obey it. And we want to live for your honor and glory. We want to live in a way that pleases you. So, Father, be with us. Speak to us through your word this week. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. I'll see you next Sunday.